Welcome to Teaching Others Also. All right, now today what we're going to do by request is revisit some things we did ages ago. Ages being, well, several times through the years, but, you know, over the last, say, 15, 18 years, maybe longer, 20 years, the Lord's blessed us with helping people on with some very practical daily things. We're going to look at three scriptures to start with. And then we're going to talk about some practical applications. Joshua chapter 1 in your Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. And then in your New Testament, get 1 Corinthians 4 and Colossians 3. You can grab 1 Corinthians 4, roll your page up there to Colossians 3. We're going to look at three passages, and then we're going to take this subject. Now what we're going to do, hopefully, is do this in segments, or at least we'll end up dividing it into segments, because sometimes, excuse me, one of the best ways to learn things is by assimilating them in small bits. I'm going to sow a thought in your mind that 15 minutes a day is 90 hours a year. It's slightly more than that, but it's good rounding it off. 15 minutes a day is 90 hours a year. I don't know if you thought about how much 90 hours a year is. 90 hours a year is the same as a 40-hour week plus 10. So it's a week and a quarter of a 40-hour week. Now, there's a lot of things you could accomplish if you had 90 hours, okay? So what I want to talk to you about here today is this 90 hours a year, and then more so. But we're going to start with the whole big picture. So we're going to start with the first session, and I'm going to try to keep them, as I was saying about assimilation, I'm going to try to keep them into small bites, so a person can come back and refer to them. So we'll end up breaking it up, what would normally be, say, a full session of 45 minutes, you know, in a seminar or whatever you want to call it, in a course. We're going to try to break it up into 15-minute ones. We'll see if we can accomplish that as we go. All right, Joshua chapter 1, a passage familiar to many Christians, a great passage. The book of Joshua is similar to the book of Jesus. The Old Testament word Joshua is equal to the New Testament name Jesus. It's even translated that way when you get into your New Testament. And the picture is they're leaving the wilderness and they're going into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. They've been under the leadership of Moses. You know, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John chapter 1. So the overall picture is he's leading them into a victorious life. Crossing of the Red Sea is a great picture or type of salvation. Going through the blood of Christ, you're washed, you're cleaned. The crossing of the River Jordan is a great picture of someone deciding to enter into the crucified life, the victorious Christian life of death to self. Two different crossings, two different things. That does not change the types of, I won't have to cross Jordan alone, you know, we sing about going over to heaven and all that. Don't destroy those or wipe them out because trying to be overly strict on your types. It works both ways. But in Joshua chapter 1, we find that he's given him a charge here. And he says in verse 6 of Joshua 1, be strong and of a good courage. Circle the word good or mark the word good. There's courage, there's good courage. Courage is what men and women exercise. Courage can be sometimes just because you don't want to lose face. Courage can be because there's a disaster and we rise to it. But good courage is always associated with doing it under God, in God, through God. All right. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let me say this. Notice, don't turn to the right or the left. Stay right down in your lane. That's very important for the Bible-believing child of God who has the truth that we have the finished absolute work in the King James Bible. It's very important. Very, very important. Now watch. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We're going to come back to that. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Mark it again, that word good. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So what we're going to do here is along the lines of training, but it has to have with it exhorting. We're going to talk about good success. Now, the difference between success and good success is that the good success is done under God. It's done through God and with God. It's done the Lord's way for Him. You can leave a marker in there, come to 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to just look at three passages. We could look at a multiple number of passages, but we'll look at three. What I want to impart to you over these next few sessions or so are some things that I know that the Lord has taught many, many a person that did not originate with me. There's no new thing under the sun. But I've seen it help Christians be effective. Let me throw this in there. Effective and efficient are not always the same thing. Efficiency has to do with, you know, the least amount of effort. Sometimes it has to do with the fastest way to do something. But effective is a Bible word. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It brings about an actual effect. So it affects things by bringing about an effect. Effectual, effective, trumps efficient. There are many things that are more effectively done by hand or by labor or by time consuming, and it's not as efficient, but it's more effective. If you did it by mere efficiency, no one would bother to get in their vehicle and go to church. No one would bother going across the world. They would just send all this electronic stuff. They'd send a shipment. They'd drop it from the sky, whatever. It wouldn't cost tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars to send people around the world. But you see, the world is smarter. The children of this generation are wiser than the children of light sometimes, as Jesus said, because they know what's effective, what gets it done. So they still have their gatherings, see, and they still bring their special speakers in, and they still pay people to show up in person. They know that some things you can get by with by, you know, a conference call or a little video chat, but there's a lot of things that there's no substitute for. And may I say this to you, the ministry of the word is one of them. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of y'all will get that. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Would you mark it? And stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man, excuse me, be found faithful. But with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. So Paul says in stewards, it's important that a man be found faithful. Now, without running in this particular session a multitude or multiple of verses, it's clear from the Bible that God gave life. Then that God gave you your life, and now your life is a stewardship. And at the end of your life, when the time comes, you will give account to God what you did with it. You'll give account, did you receive His Son? And He'll go from that point. And then if you did receive His Son, He'll go from that point. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now verse 3, with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. This is very important. When you begin to make decisions based on some of the things we'll talk about in this course and the sessions to come, you're going to have to make your decisions before God, and you can't always let other people control it. If you do, you'll mess up. With me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Listen, some of us are so hard on ourselves that if we're not careful, we miss God actually saying you're doing okay. And He might prompt you about something here and something there, but if you're not careful, you're giving yourself a 50 and God's giving you a 75, 80, or a 90. Okay? For He said, verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but He that judgeth me is the Lord. Ready? Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. The purpose of that passage, excuse me a minute, is stewardship. Stewardship. You see, the things we're going to talk about in the sessions to come is virtually about stewardship. Success versus good success is about stewardship. Okay? Now, Colossians chapter 3. There are many places we can go to on this. These are just good foundational verses. Let me point this out. When you as a child of God begin to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, your life, okay? When you begin to, what you find is that, like in building, your first parts are very important. When you're laying out the thing, I've done a lot of building. So if you're out there and you've done some building, or some of you folks have done some building, then you know what I'm talking about. Your foundation's very important. But not just like laying it, having it squared up, but planning for the future to attach things to that foundation so that you can build upon and up. And then as you put those things in there, those things need to be ready to be built upon. What I'm going to talk to you about is one of the things that enables you to build your life upon Christ and to do the work of God. I know this, much of what I'm going to tell you about and talk to you about, teach you, impart to you, is a result of having a great desire to have fulfilled a stewardship, and I needed to know how. There's an abundance today of how-tos, right? Like do-it-yourself and all that. Have you ever noticed that it's do-it-yourself but with the help of YouTube? And amen to that. Do it yourself, but with the help of a pamphlet or instruction or a class. It's do it yourself after you learn from somebody. That's why. Can you imagine somebody saying, "What are you going to do?" Well, I'm going to fly an airplane. I'll start with a Cessna 150. I'm going to fly it. Well, how are you going to do that? I'm doing my own do it yourself course. And what is that? Well, I'm just going to learn by experience. Experience is the best teacher. I'm here to tell you, experience has never, ever, 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 ever been. And if you're gritting your teeth, too bad. Don't bother emailing me or calling me. It is not the best teacher. Experience can confirm. Experience can ratify. You know where experience comes according to the Bible? Through tribulation. You don't find God telling you to go out and put yourself through tribulation, work with patience, experience. Okay? But to learn something, the best teacher... Experience has never been the best teacher. The best teacher is a good teacher. Get that through your head. The people who believe experience is the best teacher don't like teaching, and they don't like teachers. They just want to do it themselves. That is the slowest, longest, most dangerous way to learn anything. Thank God I didn't learn to fly an airplane by trying to do it myself, by experience. In fact, my experience flying would have ended up in a disaster had I not had some real good training. All right, Colossians chapter 3. You'll get that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. On both sides of this are instructions on our daily life. Look at verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Who? Look at verse 18, wives. Verse 19, husbands. Verse 20, children. Verse 21, fathers. Verse 22, employees, servants. Does not say slaves, it says servants. So you have civil servants, and you have different servants, and you have military service. They're servants. What does he say how to conduct it? Ready? Whatsoever ye do, do it how? Heartily. Put your heart into it. How can you do that when sometimes the person you're doing it with or for or through, how? As to the Lord and not unto men. It's not our subject matter, so we cannot tarry here. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So, in this first thing, we're about to our 15-minute level. We're going to pull this together. We're going to call it success versus good success. Ready? Success is achieving something, reaching the goal, getting to the end. Success can be climbing a mountain. Success can be money. Success, listen, there are people who stay married 50 years and 60 years. That's success. Don't ever play that down as a Christian. Good success is doing everything as much as you possibly can, as much as lieth in you, okay, in God. That's good success. Do you understand? Then there's success versus good success. The steward is answered to whom? The Lord. Whatsoever we do, do heartily as to the Lord, Colossians 3. Then thou shalt make way, they were prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So the first one is going to be, this is success versus good success. Why is that so important? It matters to God how you do it. It matters what sort of work you have at the end of the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So much so that when David was going to bring the ark in, they didn't bring it in the way God wanted it to. And it was normal for David to be displeased. It was normal for David to stick it in the house of Obed-Edom and say, we're not going any further until I can figure this out. And if you read the cross references over in Chronicles, he figured out what they did wrong. They were supposed to carry it. Ready? Here's an amazing truth. No cart could carry the ark safely the way people could on their shoulders, as if it was in a sling or on a little stretcher. See, when people carry it, they work like an automatic anti-bump system. Okay? In other words, they're going along, they're like a gyroscope because they've got all these senses that they have in them, and they're raising it up and lowering it, and they're just doing it. That was God's way of carrying it. And there's multiple instances in the Bible, the difference between doing something and doing it God's way. Success versus good success. And so we're going to look at some things about daily life. We're going to look at things about how we do things. And we're going to just review. Some of you might be learning, oh, I could actually learn something here and do something, you know. I could have more good success in eternity. Father, pray take these thoughts, these sessions we're going to do, and pray bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen.